as we sing He Lives.
I serve a risen Savior, He's in the world today. In all that He is living, whatever men may say, I see His hand of mercy, I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives, He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives, salvation to impart. He asks me how I know He lives. He lives within
Mr. Davis, would you be willing to go ahead and open this in prayer?
Gracious Heavenly Father, so thankful and grateful that we know You, the power of the cross, the power of the resurrection. Thank You for Your word and Your spirit. Thank You that You live in our hearts. Father, we pray that pour Your spirit out tonight, and we might worship You in spirit and truth. Anoint this man of God as he speaks the word of truth for us tonight, and open our hearts to Your word of truth. Lead us and guide us, Father, in Your ways, which in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated, and we're going to go ahead and we're going to turn to hymn number 391. 391. I am resolved. So with our Savior risen, are we resolved, are we set, that in this world today, despite distractions, we are going to serve Him. I am resolved.
To follow the Savior King.
We're going to do something highly unusual tonight, and we're going to give you guys a little taste of camp, and so we're going to have some testimonies in a moment, but we are going to have a little something of lighthearted fun. You might have seen them working around and getting our theme for the camp was Army theme, and we'll sing for you in a little moment the song that we learned there, an Army song, and almost thought about having them march in here and show them, because they marched into several of the services, and I was a drill sergeant for a little while, and then I was a private, and then so I got demoted. So anyway, Elijah, you guys want to do your skit first? I'll pull this table out of the way here.
Come on in here. It's not so bad for us. Attention! I am Gunnery Sergeant Lewis, your senior drill instructor. From now on, you will not speak unless spoken to. Do you dirty maggots understand?
Sir, yes, sir.
I can't hear you.
Sir, yes, sir.
If you survive recruit training, then you will be a weapon of war. But until that day, you are worthless maggots. You will not like me, but the more you hate me, the more you will learn. Is that clear, you filthy Margaret? What's up, my soldier?
You call us Margaret, sir?
What's your name, soldier?
Lieutenant, I meant private. Regard, Lieutenant. I'm a private.
Now on, your name is Private Margaret. Do you like that name?
Yes, sir.
Does it make you feel pretty? Cinderella? Was Margaret was her real name?
Actually, it's Lucetti, sir.
Did you just speak up? Did you just speak up, her mommy? Margaret, Margaret!
Sorry, sir. So, sir, I did 12.
You dare to spit me?
Yes.
Excuse me? You do not have a count.
2 on 20, sir?
Yes.
Thank you. There's no time for games. Let's nuke them.
I'm sorry, did you say nuke them?
Yeah, you know the Capitol building is just a mile from here. That would kill us all.
Probably the worst decision we could make.
Might want to reconsider, Mr. President.
And needless to say, we are still running out of time.
Let's blow up the building!
Okay, that gives us a lot of the same problems we had with the nuke.
Let's stop and think how many important people are in that building.
It's just Congress.
Fair point, sir, but blowing up the building is what the hostiles are threatening to do already.
I know. That's why they'll never see it coming.
But the end result would be the same, which is bad.
Do you have any other ideas, Mr. President?
Fine. Let's flood them!
But sir, that'd be just as dangerous!
Where'd we get that amount of water?
Noxious gas!
Sir, think less violently.
What about Pastor Ben Heffernan? Can we get him to go in?
But sir, he's just a pastor.
No, I've heard his stuff. It's pretty good.
No!
Relocation to the moon.
Are you kidding me?
I'm sorry, okay? This job is just so stressful.
We have literally 2 minutes, sir.
Think, Mr. President, what should we do?
I got it. Why don't we call them and ask them not to blow it up?
We could call them.
Great idea, Mr. President. We could count on you, sir.
Well done, team. Crisis averted.
You have won your country proud.
All right, seriously, what are we going to do?
I have no idea.
Why did they like that?
All right. those were pretty awesome. Those were very fun and very special. So I know that they worked really hard on those, and I still laugh. I think the last one might have been my favorite. I still laugh every time, especially with the Congress joke. So I'm inclined to agree with them at times, but. So, at this time, we're gonna. You're right. It really is hard to transition from that. We're gonna try and switch. And this last song, hymn number 371. Let's go ahead and stand. And it's A Passion for Thee. And it really just has the idea of, Lord, give me a heart to serve you. So often we can get tired as we go through life and get discouraged and get down. We can get down about the government and the choices that they're making. And we can get concerned about what's going to happen. But through it all, we need a passion to serve Christ. And we need a heart that says, I'm going to serve God no matter what. Let's sing A Passion for Thee.
Please be seated.
Invite the young people to come up and we'll try to sing the song.
Soldiers of our Lord Jesus Christ, we stand against the enemy and all of his lies. To keep us from sin,
1, 2,
we must begin,
3, 4,
to put on the whole armor of His power is no fraud. The battle for truth and right is a battle we must fight. So put on the hope, armor of God. Up for the belt of truth, because it is wise. The truth of God will keep you so that you'll gain the prize. To keep us from sin, one, two. We must begin, three, four, to put on the whole armor of God. Put on the armor, the armor of God. The strength alone can help us. His power is no fraud. The battle for truth and right is a battle we must fight. So put on the whole armor of God. Righteousness will protect your heart. If he keeps you sin from us, so will not depart. To keep us from sin, one, two, we must begin, three, four, to put on the whole armor of God. Put on the armor, the armor of God. God's strength alone can help us. His power is no fraud. The battle for truth and right is a battle we must fight. So put on the whole armor of God.
All right, I'm going to ask all of you guys to form some lines here on either side of the platform, and you guys are going to give some testimonies. And I appreciate all that are praying. So you guys go down the steps and form some lines on either side here. Oh, yeah. If you went to camp, you are welcome to be up here. Encourage you to do that. Just to share a brief, doesn't have to be a lot, but just share a little bit about what God has done in your life through the camp. And I know that many of you are praying for it. And here's an opportunity for you to hear, you know, the fruit of your prayers and those things. So we'll go ahead and start with... We'll start with the guys here, and then we'll go back and forth. Sorry.
I would say this is the best year of camp I've ever had. That is mainly because I feel like the Lord was speaking in many different ways, and I felt like I was coming from, instead of struggling with defeat and trying to get victory for once, I felt I was coming from a standpoint of victory and trying to get spiritual traction to move forward. So it was very, very encouraging hearing other people's testimonies on Thursday night. And also, there was a special message that always pricks my heart. It's the watchman in Ezekiel. And it's very convicting to me always to give the message, give the gospel. Because being timid is not going to help that person's soul. So it encouraged me also more to pray more. And one of his messages later on was on prayer. How much do you pray? So I want to become a better prayer warrior and a leader, leading other people to pray and live for God.
God spoke to me many times during every service, and he spoke to me, first of all, just throwing out the lifeline, showing people the gospel, and being more open so that I wouldn't be timid and that I'd be bold to speak to others, people I don't know. And then God spoke to me about praying more. Even though I'm young, I must learn to start getting into habits for when I'm older so I can be a prayer warrior, and that I might not be there when people do actions, but that I may pray for them. And so I can gain the fruit that they get. And God also spoke to me about my tongue, that I can destroy with my tongue and I can edify with my tongue. And I want my tongue to be edifying to everyone, and I want to be honoring to God.
All right. So I thank you everybody for praying for us as we went. It was sometimes an interesting week. Got there first night, woke up on Tuesday morning, the sound of the weather alerts popping up on the phone with 80 mile an hour winds, thunderstorms. That evening, alerts started going off in evening chapel as hail decided to roll through during one of the invitations. I got to see Sierra wrestle a lizard in the chapel one morning. And get a snake off out of the chapel at the same time. So many hazards, but it was a very good week, and really appreciate the preaching from Chaplain Gillis. Just a blessing to that was. One of the messages that really stuck out to me was there toward the end where he talked about the example we're leaving before others, both for to be able to share the gospel with them, but also just for those underneath us, younger than us and behind us, that we would leave the kind of example they can follow. Just pray that the Lord help me to do that.
The Lord really encouraged my heart this week in many ways, but one of them was he encouraged me to share the gospel more. And one of the ways in that was we had to memorize 36 salvation verses, and that was just really good for me because we go witnessing every week on Friday, but I wasn't very faithful to memorize those verses. So I'm so glad the Lord spoke to me in that way.
I did not come from this church, but I arrived to go with this church in the van. So it was a lot of fun hanging out with Samuel and the guys, and we had a blast together. But this week of camp was one of my favorite challenged week of camps out of the two that I've gone to, because like Samuel said, it was improving and getting traction to go forward. One of the messages that really spoke to me was watching of the tongue, and one of the things I can realize is I can have victory over sin in everything. I had a blast. I woke up to 80-mile wind one morning. That was very fun to watch outside. One of the trees had to be removed because of how tilted it was to the ground. Smaller saplings. But I had a blast, and I'm so glad I got to go.
I'm glad I got to go to camp because one of the messages that really spoke to me was the one about prayer. I really need to pray more, and I'm glad that Chaplain Joe Willis convicted me of that.
I'm just thankful to God this week for really touching my heart in several ways, but the one that touched me the most was probably throwing out the lifeline to others, and that I would be more bold to tell others about what God has.
The Lord convicted me in many ways, but some of the most was watching my tongue, and I know I haven't been being useful with my tongue the way it's supposed to be useful, and being a better testimony for others. The Lord convicted me in that, and throwing out the lifeline. I haven't been doing that lately, and the Lord really convicted me in that way.
There's a lot to say, but I kind of got to condense it. But it was a very good week, a profitable week. I got to spend a lot of my time on the way up with my dad and got to talk with him. And it's always that's a blessing. And I guess the message that really did speak to me the most was the one that I'm controlling my tongue. And I it's easy for me to quickly cut others down and my wrath and my hatred. I mean this. Father, the Lord is really helping me right now, and to be kind to my siblings and to apologize. But I was really especially thankful this year for the nature, although it's been there every year, but I really just especially got to spend time with my Heavenly Father alone and got to talk to Him. A lot, and just by myself and with the breeze, and as a lot of wind came through, of course, and, that also helped because there was this high humidity and all that. So it was hot. Praise the Lord.
If you hear about a story about me wrestling a lizard, it's probably over exaggerated. But I had to agree with Samuel. This year was definitely one of my favorite years and probably the best year for me. That's because each message was used together. Each message spoke to my heart. And there's two that I really enjoyed. And that was being weary and well-doing and throwing out the lifeline. And they both kind of connected for me. Because at the beginning of the year, I made a commitment to go out once a week with the church and just share the gospel. And sometimes I didn't see fruit, or sometimes I felt too tired. But this last week, I got to see three of the girls in my cabin saved and come to know the Lord. And it was just neat to see each one turn to God, and they were all each open. None of them turned away. None of them said no. Each one of them was open, and it was just a nice reminder to me that God is working, and I don't have to be tired in whatever I am doing for him.
Well, the sermon that really spoke out to me was controlling my tongue, about like I need to think before I speak, because sometimes the isn't the best things to say. And well, I thank you for all your prayers, and also throwing out the lifeline that I need to do that to others, help them get, show them the gospel, and.
This week of camp, I got to be a counselor for 12 and 13-year-old girls, which was really fun. And it was just a great week, and really a week of personal revival in my own heart. It was just a blessing to be able to hear God's word about four or five times a day. And just, I think Sierra said, it was amazing how the messages flowed together, and the Lord would work in my heart through one message and then just continue that work throughout the entire week. And along with personally just being convicted about my own sin and need to grow closer to the Lord, it was also a blessing just to be able to see the young girls that I was counseling and their tender hearts toward the Lord, and just how they were responding to the Lord when the Lord convicted them of sin and showed them things they needed to change. And just even to hear testimonies about how the Lord worked through the week was just so neat to see.
I just want to thank Chaplain Joe Willis for his wonderful preaching and the Lord for putting together this wonderful camp. And the one that spoke to me the most was throwing out the lifeline. I really think I should be more faithful to preaching others the gospel.
My favorite services were the mouth and the Watchmen.
I would say this is probably one of my better years at camp, just because of all the spiritual conviction I received. Voice is kind of shy, sorry. But I would say that the sermon that spoke to me most is about keeping my tongue in check, because I could use that more in my life.
Just thank you for those who prayed for us and who helped send us out financially. We had a great week. I was with 14 and 15-year-old girls, and they were just a great group, and they encouraged me, honestly, too. They had were a little crazy in the evenings after the snack time, but it was a good time. And it was really hard to think about, like, what the Lord really had spoke, because, honestly, what they were saying, like, every message, there was something I needed to work on, something I needed encouraged for. I know I've been a little worried lately, just a little bit more going on in our lives the last few months, and just having that encouragement in God's word and just encouragement to keep on going, to be willing to be used of God. Another thing that really stuck out to me and that the Lord spoke to me through Mr. Willis was on prayer. Just lately I've been finding myself just rushing through it more than I should be and just not enjoying it like I should, and just reminded just how precious that time is with the Lord, and just really how I should reach out to the Lord on behalf of my family and about the church, the teens, Lord. But I'm just so very thankful to see the Lord working this week in our campers and our family personally. So thank you.
Well, one of the messages that spoke to me the most was the little foxes. It was about the little sins that come in your life, great destruction. And also the other one that spoke to me was throwing out the lifeline. I haven't been doing that much because I'm scared to tell them, but now I'm not.
This is probably the best year I've ever had. The one message that spoke to me was being a better watchman, and this week I've made a commitment to serve the Lord and to be part of a ministry, and and to share the gospel better.
Okay, first of all, I'd like to thank all of you for your support, both monetary and spiritual, in prayer. And the message that spoke the most to me was about taming the... No, it wasn't. The tongue can destroy that. The 70% of suicide rates, they have been bullied. I want to be very, very careful what I say. I've always been the playful type, always teasing everyone at sports, and I wish to edify and build up other people.
So I kind of have the same theme with a lot of others, how there was just so much this week. It seemed like nearly every sermon there was something new that I was convicted or encouraged about. And so I kind of worked on writing down a few things this afternoon. And probably the two main things were just the Lord convicted me in ways that I needed to lead better with sharing the gospel. And in my prayer life, I needed to really like work on that and just leading by my example in those two aspects, but then also just with kind words and actions. And then the Lord really helped me to learn to better trust him throughout this week. I had lots of good talks with my counselor, well, both of my counselors, on ways to trust God. But the one especially, we just talked about how we both love the stars and the sky. And it really made me think that if God can create all of this, how wonderful, in just a few days, how wonderful of works can he do for me after all of my lifetime. And so it really helped me to realize that God doesn't expect me to know or to even understand what his plan is, but I just need to trust him no matter what.
This week was a wonderful week for me. Anytime that I go to any teen camp, it's always a really good blessing from the Lord. I had such a fun time there, from pulling pranks to getting pranked myself to coming there to leaving. It was all a really good time. God's theme for me for the week was definitely prayer. I should pray more and be in his word more and become a prayer warrior. I'm glad that I could have lots of fun with my cabin and with our counselor, and especially Thursday. That was a crazy night.
I was very thankful to be able to go. I've gone up to camp for a little while, and I was excited to be able to get back in to the camp atmosphere. I really enjoy going and seeing the kids and seeing them interact. And I think one of the things that kind of jumped out to me from the week was the reminder that all of us are still growing. Chaplain Joe Willis did a really good job of being like, hey, this is for you adults in the room as well. This isn't just for the kids. This isn't just for them to listen to. It's for me as well. And it's something that I need to be listening to as well. One of the specific messages that kind of hit my heart was he talked about missing the mark. And he explained what sin was. Sin is us missing the mark. God has set a mark. And when we try in our own efforts, we're going to miss. No matter how hard we try. No matter how close we get. And I was reminded, in my life, whose standards am I judging my life by? When I set up my own standards, I look pretty good. You know, I got it all in order. You know, I can make, you know, that's okay. You know, I do this over here. We won't worry about that. And, you know, I can sort it all out and justify it. But if I really look at it, am I hitting the mark? And the only way that I can do that is through him. So that was a really good reminder from the week. And just praising the Lord for his safety and for the kids that we're able to be spoken to and responded.
So. Amen. Thank you all so much for your testimonies. That really is a blessing, is it not?
Yes.
Amen. You can have revival right out of testimonies. And so I just want to praise the Lord for a few things, and then we'll look at one passage of Scripture that can be of help to you campers that have made decisions, but be a help to all of us. Praise the Lord for our staff. We send, I think there's 7 of us in terms of staff, and there might be about 20 total. So we are almost at least a third of the staff that we provide from our church. And just really, really need to see the sacrifice. So when we say the word camp, that some people think camping. That's not what we're doing. This is an organized schedule from 7 a.m. till 10 o'clock at night. And you are going somewhere, always doing something, working with kids, taking care of them. You've got managing, and you've got 10 to 12 different young people that they're looking after and responding when they respond to messages. And so I just appreciate the sacrifice that's put in and the hard work. And you can just see it by the end of the week that they are tired and worn out. And yet there's no complaining. It's just a delight in their heart to serve the Lord. So it is just so thankful for our youth leaders and workers and what an example they set. And I'm thankful for our young people, the heart that they had from the very beginning. They were allowing the Lord to speak to them and responding in messages and not afraid to walk an aisle and to speak with the counselor and to open up about personal things. And I know that they have talked about more personal things than they felt comfortable sharing here, but God was doing a work in their lives. And what's beautiful is I hope what's happening in your homes is what's happening in my home, that I can tell a distinct difference in my children's lives. And that's what makes it so enjoyable to see they're taking steps forward and they are growing. And it's a good thing. And for me personally, I want to thank the Lord because I feel like there's just so much answered prayer in my life in terms of not that I, I'll put this, that God is answering prayer, not because of me, that's not what I'm trying to say, but just that God is so good to answer our prayers. And when I go to camp, I am flooded with all kinds of memories and all kinds of prayers. And now it's just like the Lord brings those back to me while I'm there. And I am saying, my, what God has done in my life. I am thankful. I want that to be a testimony. You just, for you young people, you're not sure exactly what's going to happen in the future. I don't know what's going to, in my whole life, God will be with you. And you will never regret drawing nigh to Him and following Him. And so God is so good. He answered prayer in regards to the weather. We had some storms come through, but it never really interfered with our programs, except for one invitation, but the Lord had that and had a purpose for that as well. And so it was really good. The Lord gave protection, and it cooled things off for us a lot because there were some hot days after that. So we were so thankful in just other ways where I normally kind of, be honest with you, I kind of go around going, this could go wrong, that can go wrong, and I'm supposed to get that done, and I'm sure I'm forgetting something, and you know, and I just had a sense of peace from the Lord this year, and I just knew that it was different. Not that I didn't have some anxiety at different points, but I saw the Lord working in my own heart, and there was one element, I'll just share one aspect of conviction in my life. I got back preparing for a game, came back to the service, they were still going on, and so I just decided not to go in, but to just sit out there and pray, and they had the invitation, and then all these pitter-patters of feet came out the door. And I'm thinking, Lord, what an army of young people. And I'm like, Lord, you see these people. You could use them. And it was like the Lord pressed upon me and said, yeah, I knew that. You're kind of late to the party. It's about time you got a passion for all these young people. And so it was like there's an element that our love, we don't need to convince God to love them. God does. We need to have a portion of His heart and His desire. And I just felt so convicted that my love is so small, and I need the Lord to open my heart to pray on a larger scale and for these young people and stuff. So anyway, it was a good time. All right, I know the time. We have about 10 minutes, but this should take about 10 minutes. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I want to share an important and yet glorious truth that I believe. If you will get a hold of this, young people, and older young people, that God will use this in your life. And it's found in a well-known verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. It says, but we all. Now the word but lets us know that there's a contrast. And I'm going to just have to simplify things so that we can go, but you have to take my word for it, but I encourage you to look at the passage as you're going through it. But he is making a contrast here between the old covenant and the new covenant. And in the old covenant, those they had a law that was given to them, and it was written on stone. You see this in verse 3. He says, "You are the epistles of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart." What they received in the old covenant was a law that said, "Thou shalt not, and thou shalt not, and thou shalt not," all the way through, and honor your parents. You know what? When we measure ourselves up to that, do we hit the mark? No, we sin. We fall short. And the ministry of the Old Testament law was only a ministry of condemnation. Because, not because the law was not good, but because we did not have the ability to keep that law. And it showed us how much we need Jesus Christ. But he's saying now we have a new covenant in Jesus Christ. We have, through his blood that was spilt upon the cross, the new covenant is here. And now we have the Spirit of the living God within us. And he is now, through the new covenant, not just telling us what we ought to be, but he wants to empower us through his Spirit to be what we should be. And he tells us here, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. And when he includes that word fleshly in contrast to stone, there's a passage in Ezekiel chapter 36 that talks about how you've got a heart of stone, which means that when God was speaking and God was calling out, that it was just not having any impact. But he says, "I'm going to give you a heart of flesh," which means that through regeneration and through a new life in the new covenant, now you can respond to God. And what you've heard tonight is children of the new covenant responding with tender hearts to the gospel and to the truth of what Jesus Christ wants from them in their lives. And so it's neat. It says we all of us are part of the new covenant. If you believe in Jesus Christ, he says, we have an open face. That's an interesting word, but the word behind open face is quite literally an unveiled face. Let's go back in just a second to see the contrast. In verse 14, he says, "But their minds," that's Old Testament Israel, "were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away." This is a key part. "In the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ." So this idea here is, in the Old Covenant, when they are reading the Scriptures, if they don't have Christ, when they read it, they've got a veil over their face and they do not see the glory of God. He's taking them back to the day when Moses came down from the mount with the two tables of stone and he had the glory of God on his face because he was in the presence of God, and God told him, "You got to put a veil on because the people couldn't handle it." And so he's saying the glory of the old covenant, the ministration of death, was glorious because the glory of God was shining off the minister. But he's saying in that point, Israel had to have a veil. And Israel today still has a veil that they do not understand the glory of the Lord in the Old Testament because it is pointing to Jesus Christ. The point of it is here in verse 36, he says, "Nevertheless, when it," referring back to verse 15, "their heart shall turn to the Lord," and that will happen someday. The Old Testament Jews that are not understanding the glory of God, they will turn to the Lord someday. The veil will be taken away. That's talking about repentance. That's talking about turning back to Jesus Christ and believe on Him. So if you want to be a part of the new covenant and you want to have transformation by the Spirit of God, that's not just telling you what you ought to do, but allowing you to live out what God expects of you, you must turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. You must believe on Him. He is your sufficiency. You cannot think of yourself as sufficient in anything. And that's what the new covenant is all about. That's verse 5, really. So again, as I exhort you young people and all of us, you say, "How am I going to live a life that has changed? I've been convicted. I've seen steps of victory in my life. I've stepped out and did what God wanted me to do. But now I'm in a different environment. Can I sustain that?" How many times have we heard about camp decisions? It's not that the place was wrong or that the decision was wrong, or the Word of God was wrong. I'm going to talk a little bit about how do you sustain that. What I kind of went off from where I was going. Where I get back to where I was at. The veil taken away. All right, we'll just go jump back to verse 18. I lost it. But we all, that's all New Testament believers, with open face, because we believe in Jesus Christ, we are beholding what? The glory of the Lord. So you and I, the ministry of the death was glorious, but how much more, verse 11 says, that which remaineth is glorious. There's a greater glory in the new covenant. And it's not talking about our faces shining, it's talking about our entire lives being transformed into the glory of God. You remember what Moses said? He says, I want to behold your glory. And he says, when I will put you in the rock and when I pass by, he says, I will declare to you the name of the Lord. The glory of the Lord is the revelation of who He is. And He says, you and I get to see who God is in all of His glory. And He says, as in a glass. We are not seeing it like Moses saw it face to face, but we're seeing it through a glass. And when you look at how did the Old Testament Israelites know it? It says the veil is taken away in the reading of the Old Testament, the reading of the Scriptures. That's where the veil is. But you and I have our veil taken off so that when we look at the Bible, into this is the mirror by which it tells us and communicates to us the Word of God. Why are you being changed? Because you are being exposed to the glory of God. And when you see that glory, you cannot help but, what does the verse say? Beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image. God is faithful. And He is doing a work by the Spirit of God in your fleshy heart as you respond to Him, to make you faithful. And God is good. And every word of God is pure. He can make your tongue pure. God has a heart for the lost. He can give you a heart for the lost. You see the glory of God and you will be changed. This word change is the same idea as Romans chapter 12 of transformation like a caterpillar into a beautiful butterfly. You think about a caterpillar? Does it have eyes that can see really well? No, it's practically nearly blind. But it goes in the cocoon. It literally dies inside that cocoon. It's cellular, on the cellular level, it breaks down. It reforms itself into a whole new, entirely different creature with new life. It's kind of a picture of death and resurrection, which we follow in Jesus Christ. And they are a new creature. You know the eyes of a butterfly? They can see all kinds of beautiful light. You see any... you see any antennas on caterpillars? No, but you do on butterflies. Do you see any long, gangly legs on caterpillars? No. Do you see any wings on caterpillars? God can transform you into something you are not. He can make you like His Son, the same image of the glory of God. So I want to tell you something. If I'm trying to work on my tan and I'm trying to get a good, nice... which I'm not. You may see me come out, I think it was a couple weeks ago, in terms of I came to church and I was like this big beaming aspect and saying, you know what, I was out in the sun too long. You know what, if I just get away from the sun, the tan will go away. So what you young people did was five times a day, for 5 days in a row, you had a schedule that puts you in front of the glory of God, and God did a work in your life. The same God at camp is the same God in your home. It's the same God in this church. It's the same God in this book, in this word. And what you need is to keep on having exposure to the Son of God, through this book. And so I want to challenge you, young people, adults, very specifically, would you do this? Would you have two specific things in your life, two specific times, and I'm going to encourage you to do one in the morning and one in the evening, something that puts you in front of God's Word.
because that's how you were growing. You didn't realize it, but you were actually put within a schedule. In a schedule that actually dictated for you your life, and that's part of the secret sauce. That you were being put in front of God's word and you couldn't help it because you were just going on. And you cannot let that go away when you go back to your house. I'd encourage for my own children, I say, I want them to read the Bible and pray in the morning, sometime early on in the day, so they can start off with the Lord. But I found, just as a dad and as my own personal aspect, we grow a whole lot. We grow more and we stay closer to the Lord if we can find some time in the evening as well. It doesn't have to be something big, but that you turn your, maybe it's listening to a message, maybe it's reading another chapter, maybe it's revisiting in the Lord in prayer and just asking about the day, but you must continue in fellowship with Him, beholding the glory of God. And if you do, your change will not stop. The glory won't fade away. It will continue to change you day after day. And so I hope you understand the biblical model of change is exposure to God, who He is. Don't stop that now that you've come home, but engage that intentionally, regularly for God's glory. Let's pray. Dear Father, we just thank You so much, Lord, for Your love for us and Your faithfulness. You're a good shepherd, and when we stray, You bring us back. And when we're hungry, You feed us. And when we're lost, You lead us. And Lord, when we're scared, You protect us. Father, You are a wonderful God. There's no one like You. May we trust You for our own spiritual walk. May we trust You for these children's lives. May we encourage them. May we help them in the commitments that they've heard. I pray that some would be burdened just to pray for these young people. And to pray and even to follow up in just in a couple of weeks to ask them how they're doing and how they're growing. And Lord, may we just foster an environment that is easy to talk of You and to speak of Your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed. Thank you so much.